This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Randy Davis. Randy's the Vice President and Chief Information Officer at CGH, and excited to visit with him about things he's seeing today. Randy, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. I have been in this business now for 40 years. Most of it was spent in managing large multi-specialty group practices. In 2010, the multi-specialty group practice that I managed for 15 years was acquired by our local hospital, and I've spent the last 10 years with the hospital in a couple of different roles. And now as I'm pushing up against retirement, my role now is as a VP and CIO.
And so you've been now at the between the practice and the group and the medical center. You've been at the same place for almost 25 years now. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. And 25 years next year, first of next year.
And what are some of the things you've seen change in that period of time? It's so unusual today for somebody to stay at the same spot for 25 years or so. Talk a little bit about some of the evolution you've seen over the years from the medical group to the health center and more.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest changes that I've seen is, you know, the medical community was for a very long time very much an entrepreneurial business. Physician group practices, it was the greatest gig in the world because you were, you know, running your own business with someone else's money on a reasonably short leash. You weren't afforded very many or any mistakes. And over the years now, this has changed, and most physician practices have either entertained being absorbed by a larger hospital or, in fact, have been absorbed. So I think that the whole premise that physicians had when they came out of either residency or fellowship has shifted now. And I think people today expect to be in an employed situation.
And it's a huge change in the landscape of practices, for sure, in the landscape of the healthcare community. Talk about, because you made a transition, your group made a transition from being an independent group to part of the medical center. What was that transition like for you as an employee of the group in transitioning to being an employee of the medical center?
You know, healthcare like politics is local. I forget what politician said that. But, you know, that saying is so very true. So my experience is going to be, you know, in the universe of one, but I'll share that. And for me, it wasn't as much of a change as so many of my colleagues have experienced. And the reason for that is, you know, we are here in a fairly small town. We're the only game in town for a very wide geographical area. And the physicians had an amazing amount of control and influence as that new entity came together. You know, typically show me a clinic that has been absorbed by a hospital, and I'll show you a clinic on the verge of bankruptcy, right? That's kind of an age-old saying and has been repeated by a lot of people. In our situation, the two best years we ever had were the 2 years preceding that acquisition. So it wasn't, you know, coming together as you see happen in so many places around the country. And because of that, a lot of the entrepreneurial spirit that existed before has carried over into the new entity. So that is unique to us. I would admit that it is not typical, but it made my experience in the transition to the hospital a little easier than it was for most. Now, undoubtedly, there is much more bureaucracy on the hospital side, right? I mean, the Joint Commission, this is something that, you know, most group practices just, you know, turn their noses up at and can't believe that they have to go through. So, sure, there have been some changes like that that you have to grow accustomed to. But by and large, it wasn't too bad for me.
And talk for a moment. At some point in your career, you transitioned from sort of business officer to business officer plus chief information officer. How did that transition happen, and some thoughts on that?
Yeah, it happened primarily out of, honestly, dysfunction. So as we came together, these two organizations, the timing of it was such that the CEO of that entity at the time that we were acquired was at retirement age. And we had a physician at the clinic, a wonderful gentleman, who ended up taking that job, perfect for the job at the time. And he came in. I had managed physician groups for 30 years, continued as we were acquired, but he came to me one day and said, you know, we've got some work to do in IT. I realize that you're not a SAN guy and you're not an expert on networking. You know, you're not the typical CIO that comes out of knowing how to configure a storage area network, but you know how to run things. So he said, you've got IT, go fix it. So I did that.
Was that daunting or was that exciting and a challenge and fine?
It was fun in that you learn different things. Although on the clinic side, you know, the unique thing about managing medical groups is you have, and I think only people that manage large medical groups really can relate to this comment, but you have to have such a breadth of knowledge. One day you're dealing with insurance contracting, the next day you're dealing, you know, with employment issues, the next day you've got IT issues. So it wasn't as if you jump into it with a zero knowledge base, but clearly the detail of what you had to learn, was different. But the fundamentals of running a group practice versus managing, IT and getting into that, there are similarities across them that would take me way too long than this conversation has to explain. But, you know, again, it didn't feel weird to me, I guess is the best way to put it.
And I think that's a wonderful way to put it, quite frankly. It's probably interesting and a challenge, and it was really management and trying to figure out what needed to be done, and so not that different than what you've done. Throughout your career, you've never been a person that says, not my job. You know, this is not my job. You've always been one that sort of leads into other roles and is willing to sort of absorb and take on those other roles. Talk a little bit. You've had a very nice, remarkable career as a leader. Great career in healthcare. Talk about a few pieces of advice that you would give emerging leaders.
Well, some of them are going to be things that have, I think anyone has heard over the years, but I'll reinforce it only as to the importance of it. The number one thing for me, if being pinned down on it, and it's going to sound cliche, but it's hire good people. I can tell you as someone who in the next, 3-4 years is going to retire, the only legacy you leave are the people that you hire, right? There'll be turnover. You're going to walk into a facility that you spent 25 years in, and it will shock you how quickly people will struggle to find your name. And that's okay. That's life, right? There's no regrets in that. The legacy you leave are in the people that you hire. And people must break the cycle of nines hiring eights, eights hiring sevens, sevens, and so on. You must break that hire. If you are afraid to hire people that are as smart as you are, you will not succeed. And so that's number one. Second, I'd say seek and hire those who understand what accountability is. I mean, accountability is not consequences. Accountability is ownership. It's a character trait. It's a life stance. It's a willingness to own your own actions. And, I think that trait is unfortunately rarer than we believe. And when we spot it in a person, latch onto them. I'd say be fair, honest, and honorable. All right. You're not hired to be somebody's best buddy. You're not hired to be someone's drinking pal. But not having those two things are it's perfectly consistent to have that, hey, I'm not your best buddy. I'm not the drinking pal. But, you can be fair. You can be honest. And you can be honorable in the way you deal with them, remembering that you're not just dealing with the individual, you're dealing with many times a family as well. I mean, my list could go on. I would say beware of yes men and women. If your direct reports have not challenged you on a few things you've said, I can pretty much guess what the political environment is at your hospital, and it's not good. So I love it when people come back to me and say, Randy, we cannot do that. You know, and I inwardly smile, and I can't wait for the conversation that comes from that. Identify weeds and get rid of them, right? I mean, too much today, we are so worried about appearances and so worried about propping people. You know, I can tell you after 40 years, some people are just weeds. I know, and that's not said to be harsh, but, you know, your communities rely on, I would say to that new leader, your community relies on your hospital too much for you to not have a high-functioning organization.
And those people that are not good at their job may very well be great in their life. They might be great husbands, great wives, great parents, all kinds of other things, but it might be that they're not good in their job, and that's okay. That is what it is, but you can't have them as part of a high-functioning team. So I love your advice, and yes, it might be, but it's the truest advice. Just hire great people. You got to have great people. You don't want yes women and yes men. You want people that are willing to challenge you, and you want people that are accountable, that will do their job, they'll do what they're supposed to do, that own their issue. And as you say, there's only so many of those around, it seems like, and I think you're right on. Randy, it's a great pleasure getting the chance to talk to you and the value of your expertise and career. Just a pleasure to visit with you today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. You bet.